Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we confess together that you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of all adoration. You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and by your will they existed and were created. We say worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and we are so thankful that you are with us, that this day your promise holds good, that you will not leave us and you will not forsake us. And Lord, we are so thankful that in Jesus Christ, the hope that we have transcends even this moment and reminds us that you've got a hold of us. You will never let us go. Lord, in Jesus Christ, you will take us through these days onto eternity with you. And so, Lord, when we face the trouble that we face today, we know that we do not face it alone. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us strength and perseverance, the ability to continue on serving you, loving others, shining brightly the light of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And so now as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, transform us by the renewing of our minds, and encourage us by the reminder of your presence with us. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for your patience as we had to navigate some technical difficulties there at the beginning. You know, we've never had to do this before, and just like so many others around the globe, we're having to adjust on the fly. These are interesting days. These are days in which we really can't see too far ahead. We have to learn how to take one step at a time. But you know what's interesting? That's kind of how God has called us to live anyway. Of course, it's important that we plan our futures, but one of the lessons that we've learned lately is that our futures can change unbeknownst to us and quickly. And so walking by faith means learning to take the next step, learning to do the next right thing, learning to trust God every step along the way. We've got an interesting passage to look at this morning. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at the first three verses, and if you are a YouVersion user, you can tune in to our live event right now. But Hebrews chapter 12 comes right on the heels of Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as the Great Hall of Faith, where the writer of Hebrews, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, tells us about all the great heroes of the faith who have come before us. We're talking a lot about heroes now. We're learning that there are heroes that surround us every single day. They're much closer than we think. I learned that lesson the hard way a few years ago. When I was a little kid, I had a great Uncle Garland, and many of you know Campbell and Andrea, Nance, who are members of our church. This is Campbell's great uncle as well. But Garland, when I met him, was an old man who had lived much, who had seen the world, and who had his idiosyncrasies just like every human being. He lived in Montgomery, Alabama, and he had been married to a wonderful woman that I loved when I was a little kid because she called me a dodo bird. And I got to call her a dodo bird back, and we just loved each other. But after she went home to be with the Lord, Garland remained there, and he would travel sometimes up to Bowling Green and stay with my grandparents. And Garland was always interesting. He drove one of those cars back in the 80s that, you know, looked like a tank. You know what I'm talking about? Just huge. And he drove it rapidly. That was the joke among our family members, that if you were going to go anywhere with Uncle Garland, you better be good with the Lord because you may meet him sooner than you think you will. Well, Garland went home to be with the Lord when I was in high school. And as time passed, I just thought of him as that wonderful man who had a beautiful wife and who made life more interesting for all of us. Well, after my grandfather passed away and then my father passed away, Garland didn't have any kids, and so I got some of his personal effects, some of his memorabilia from World War II. And as I was going through it one day, just a few years ago, I came across something that absolutely shocked me. I found a copy of a telegram. And this is all it said. It was dated July the 3rd, 1942, and it was addressed to my great-grandmother, Laura Beatty Reynolds. And this is all it said. It was from the Adjutant General of the Army. "Deeply regret to inform you that your son, First Lieutenant Garland Beatty Reynolds, has been reported as missing at sea since June 23rd. Stop. Further reports will be forwarded as received." Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been my great-grandmother, having received this telegram, looking at my great-grandfather and wondering now, what's going on with our boy? He is missing at sea. He, it turned out, had been assigned to a ship that was in the Gulf of Mexico and in the Caribbean Sea, going between Colombia, South America, and New Orleans. And evidently what had happened was that he had been hit. The ship had been hit by a submarine, and he and 27 other men were adrift at sea for 8 days. And he recorded later what that time was like. He said each of them had 6 ounces of water per day, 6 ounces of fresh water per day, and each of them had 2 crackers 3 times a day. That's how they lived, floating in the Caribbean Sea for 8 days. Well, praise the Lord. 3 days later, on July the 6th, 1942, a second telegram came to my grandmother's house. And this is all it said: "Safe and well. Love, Garland B. Reynolds." Safe and well. Love, Garland B. Reynolds. But for those 3 days, they had to deal with the reality of the unexpected. I can't even imagine what it must have been like for them to have to put one step in front of the previous step. To pray like they've never prayed before. To look to God perhaps like they had never looked to God before in their lives. And then on July the 6th, 1942, they get this notice: "Safe and well. Love, Garland." Sometime after that, he came home. And they hosted a reception for him there in Glasgow. And there was an interviewer who interviewed him. And this is what he said to the interviewer. This is amazing. He said, "Try not to make any hero stuff out of this. It could happen to anyone. It happened to a lot of men. It just happened to me." I never knew that my Uncle Garland was one of my heroes. And lately, we have had men and women who are on the front lines of this COVID-19 crisis here in our community, all throughout our Commonwealth, and all around the world, that perhaps we didn't recognize were our heroes until lately, but they are. What is a hero? Well, a hero is somebody who rises to the occasion when there's an occasion that somebody has to rise to. And I want you to know, if you are on the front lines of battling this, we are so thankful for you. And we are so thankful for the work that you are doing, and we are praying for you, and we are praying for your family, and we are praying for all the people that you love, and we are praying for all the people that you are serving. We thank God for our heroes, and we want you to know we're going to do what we can do to support you. We know that one of the best things we as the general public can do is stay home. That helps you, and so we affirm that we will social distance, not only as a responsibility out of love for our neighbors, but also for you. And we thank God that you have come to this moment and you have risen to the occasion. And we want you to know that we're praying for you. But you know, for all of us, this time occasions an opportunity for us to walk by faith. When we were getting text messages just at the beginning of this service that the audio wasn't working, we had to learn what is the next right step, what is the next thing that needs to happen. And praise God, He led us to that. But we walk by faith, not by sight, and not in some nebulous idea of faith. We walk by faith that is concrete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're taking notes, I want to give you this theme today. When you can't control much, control what you can. Fix your focus on Jesus and let Him guide your steps. When you can't control much, control what you can. Fix your focus on Jesus and let Him guide your steps. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I have to be honest with you. This is one of my most favorite passages in the whole Bible. In fact, this may be, it's in my top five. But I love it because it reminds us that we are not the first to traverse this world. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us of great heroes of the faith who lived by faith, who functioned by faith, and the world's better for it. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we get the definition of faith, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, for by it people of old received their commendation. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us of Abel, whose sacrifice was better to God from a pure heart. For Enoch, who walked with God and then one day was not, that God took him home. For Noah, who built a boat in the middle of the wilderness, obviously facing ridicule, but his eyes were on God. And he was willing to do whatever God was calling him to do in that moment. For Abraham, who believed God enough to leave everything he had ever known and to follow God. And his faith was credited to him as righteousness. And for Sarah, his wife, who was barren for so long, who gave birth to the child of the promise when she was 90 years old. How did they experience such things? They walked by faith and not by sight. They took the next right step when the next right step needed to be taken, trusting God to guide them along the way. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of Isaac and Jacob, Moses, who went at the direction of God back into that country from which he was a fugitive and was used of God to draw out God's people so that they might experience freedom from captivity and they might worship their God. Rahab, who hid the spies. And the writer of Hebrews tells us of many others. The writer of Hebrews says, I don't even have time to talk about these. People like Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Listen to what is said of these people. This is Hebrews 11, 33 through 38. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. That's the context that leads us into Hebrews chapter 12. The heroes of the faith, who walked by the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and who are for us our example. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And that word witness there doesn't mean necessarily that they're watching us, but here's what it means. It means that their lives still speak even though their life on earth has come to an end. Their lives still speak. And so what does that mean for us? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, there's a very important word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Let us also lay aside the sin which clings so closely, and let us also run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now it is our turn to walk by faith, not by sight, to fix our eyes on Jesus and to take the next right step, to do the next right thing. So what does that look like right now? Well, first, to run our race, we must lay aside every weight. And though this storm is hard, and it is hard at a global level, and it is hard at a national level, it is hard at the level of our commonwealth, it is hard in our communities. It's even hard in our own houses, isn't it? So what do we do? How do we run this leg of the race? Well, first, we've got to lay aside every weight, and maybe one of the silver linings of the cloud that has brought this storm is that we will begin to remember what's most important and what's just extra weight. I don't know about you, but I have had some real clarity thrust upon me lately. Spending a lot of time with my family when previously we would have been spending that time all over the place. Now we are spending that time very much together. And you know what's cool? I'm getting to know my kids as the people they are at this current age, not just in a truck ride on the way to the next thing, the next practice, the next event. But we're sitting together. We're talking. We're learning things about each other, things we'd always assumed that we had known. But now we're having the opportunity to interact. So in the midst of this storm, one of the silver linings to this cloud is that we have an opportunity to remember what matters most. We remember when we watch the stock market go up and down and crazy that maybe the most important things aren't things at all. Maybe they're the people around us. How many of you have learned from a distance more about who your neighbors are lately? How many of you have learned from a distance more about your friends? And perhaps you're connecting with them in ways that you've never connected with them. I never knew Zoom was a thing until the last few weeks. But maybe this is giving us an opportunity to lay aside weights we didn't even know were weights, to lay them aside and focus on human beings created in the image of God, to focus on our families, whom we love so dear. And we assume that we know, but when push comes to shove, sometimes we need to learn about each other even more. And most of all, that we would lay aside things that distract us from Almighty God. Because here's the truth. We've seen this happen in the last few weeks. The whole world has changed, and it's changed quickly. We were talking before the service today, the few of us who are in the room, well below 10, by the way, about how quickly this all changed and how we thought there's no way this will happen, and then it happened. The world can shake beneath us. Things can be taken away from us. It can all happen so quickly. But let me remind you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so if we are laying aside weights that draw us away from Him and we are focusing ourselves in Christ, we are in that which is eternal. We are with He who is eternal, and He will see us through. But not only do we have to lay aside weights like they did to run our race, we must also lay aside the sin that clings so closely. And can I ask you to do something? There will be a temptation now for you to take up something that is sinful to help you get through this, or to idolize something that is not inherently sinful just to help you get through this. So you may turn to entertainment and try to stream your way through movies and TV shows and all that, and maybe that will help you get through that, but you're probably already finding that you get done and you feel empty. It's not that you shouldn't watch the shows, it's not that you shouldn't be entertained, but that can't be the substance that carries you through this. Some of you are finding, like me, that if you are home and you get bored, the call of the kitchen comes. Now, I have to be careful here because the kitchen has called loudly to me throughout the course of my life, and I have to be absolutely focused that I'm not going to heed the call of the kitchen. But you know what? You're not going to eat your way through this and feel better, and I'm saying that to me just as much as I am to anybody else. I saw somebody send me something the other day and said, be careful. Put on your jeans every few days because pajama pants will lie to you and tell you that everything's okay in the kingdom. So be careful. But don't look to food or a substance or a drink as your solace through this. Look to God. Don't allow Satan to grab a hold of you in the midst of this trial. Don't allow an idol to take the place of what God should be doing in your life. And I want you to know that God's willing to do that in your life. God's willing to lead you, guide you, comfort you, strengthen you, and carry you through. So lay aside the weights, lay aside the sin that you don't want to get tangled up in, and then run with endurance. You know, God never promised that our journey would be easy. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And particularly in moments like this, we are so thankful that we serve a God who truly has overcome the world. His is the victory, and for all who are in Christ Jesus, the victory is ours as well. Not because we earned it, but because He has given it to us freely as a gift, as we have repented of our sin and entrusted our lives to Jesus Christ. We run with endurance. Why do we run with endurance? Because we have to. We have to endure some things. We have to persevere through some things. This world is not our home. God is preparing us for something greater, our eternal home with Him. And God will carry us through. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for He is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with oil. Our cups runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That promise is true today for all who are in Jesus Christ. If Jesus is your Lord, He is your Savior, He's got you in His hand, and He's not going to let you go. So persevere, endure. The first point I want to give you is that, like those who ran in faith before us, we must be faithful. Like those who ran in faith before us, we must be faithful. But not only like those great heroes of the Old Testament, there's a greater hero who was promised through many of those folks in the Old Testament, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So not only must we persevere in faith like those who ran before us, we must be faithful as they were faithful. The second point I want to give you is this. Like Jesus, who endured so much for us, we must be faithful. Look at Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Like Jesus, who endured so much for us, we must be faithful. We must be faithful. How do we do that? We fix our eyes on Jesus. We run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We keep our eyes focused on Christ, because if we take our eyes off of Christ, we will begin to veer off of the trajectory that He's called us to run. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, and we put one foot in front of the other, and we trust Him with every single step. And here's the thing. There will be moments where the next step is not clear. So we control what we can in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do what we can in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we look to Jesus through it all. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He's the founder of our faith. He is the one who has extended grace to us. For it is by grace we are saved through faith. And this is not of our own doing. It is the gift of God and not a result of works, so that no one can boast. He is the founder of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. Philippians 1:6 says that, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know that God will finish the good work that He has begun in you, O follower of Christ? And He will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He won't miss a beat. So He is the founder of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. He endured His own race. And He did it for us. He dealt with ridicule, false accusation, being mocked, being beaten, being crucified. And He did it for us. For God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. God placed our sin upon Jesus, and the righteous wrath that our sin deserved was carried out on Jesus at Calvary. He paid it all. And so today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you, turn away from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Quit trying to save yourself. I think you've learned and I've learned that we're pretty powerless in the grand scheme of things, and life can change very quickly. Put your faith in Jesus. Ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. He will forgive you of your sin. He will cleanse you of your unrighteousness, and He will call you His child. He loves you so much. So, we look to Jesus, who ran His own race, endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down in glory. And when we look to Jesus, we'll have strength to endure. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible says, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Amen. There was a time when Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, was afraid. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and one day the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Meunites, they came against Judah for battle. And Jehoshaphat was afraid, and so he called together all the people, and he proclaimed a fast throughout the land. And he went before Almighty God, and he offered a prayer, and the prayer ended like this: "For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. As we face this crisis, there are things we know to do. And there are heroes who are doing the things that they know to do to help others. There are things that we all can do to help all of us: social distancing, staying at home, and all of those sorts of things. We can do the things that we can do, but there will come moments when we don't know what to do. And like Jehoshaphat, we should pray in that moment, "Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Like all those heroes of the faith who've gone before us, we must fix our eyes on Jesus and run with perseverance the race marked out for us with our eyes on Him. So I want to encourage you, as you run, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't allow your eyes to be pulled away from Jesus. Of course, be aware of what's going on, but keep your focus fixed on Jesus and run with perseverance this leg of the race, recognizing that in Jesus Christ, He will one day complete the task He has begun in us. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We trust you. We thank you. And we give our lives again to you. We pray for anyone who is yet to receive Christ, that today would be the day they say, "Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you." And for all of us, Lord, draw us close. Hold us near. Help us to follow you faithfully through it all. In Jesus' name, amen.